chapter 41, the surah that's entitled Fussilat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shukran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the 93rd, it can't be, no, get it? The 30th verse and the 31st verse of the 41st surah. Chapter 41, verse 30 and 31.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا فَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُونَ وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوعَدُونَ نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ.
Surely those who say, "Our Lord is Allah," and afterward are upright, the angels descend upon them saying, "Fear not nor grieve, but hear good tidings of the paradise which you are promised. We are your protecting friends in the life of the world and in the hereafter. There you will have all that your soul desire, and there you will have all for which you pray." May Allah give this to us.
Ameen.
Ameen, Ya Rabbi. So this is an example of the angels giving glad tidings to the believers. So we ended here, inshallah. There's another question. Can the jinn and shaitan be done? In its entirety tomorrow? Yes, inshallah. So 9 o'clock sharp, inshallah. I think we can do the jinn and the shaitan in its entirety, inshallah. That shouldn't be any problem. The jinn and shaitan, we can start around 9. I think we can end it by 11:45. By 11:45, 12 o'clock, we can finish jinn and shaitan. Any more questions about the angels? Yes, go ahead.
Made a statement about when do the angels assist you. Some of the scholars said that it's earning the assistance of Allah, certain things you have to do. One of the things is like when we look in the Sirah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, see that he stayed in Mecca Makkah for 13 years teaching the Sahaba Sufi. Another thing is preparing for the jihad, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Anfal. And the other thing is having his brotherhood.
This is in reference to the angels.
When you earn the assistance of Allah, because we look at other things, you know. Certain Muslims, like in the Philippines, they've been fighting for 22 years or more. Another thing is stuff like that, you know.
But the point you're making is,
When does the angels come down and...
Oh, okay. Yeah, the brother's making a point that there are certain times when the angels will assist us. And one of them you mentioned, which is, so sisters can hear?
To learn Tawheed.
When you learn Tawheed, when you take the initiative to learn Tawheed, the angels will assist you. And...
Another thing is to prepare yourself to the best of your capability for jihad.
For what?
For jihad.
When you prepare yourself for jihad to the best of your ability, they assist you, and
another thing,
brotherhood.
Brotherhood.
When you try to strengthen the bonds of brotherhood, they also assist you. Yeah. Also, well, there's just a lot of things that could be said. What I'll do is, inshallah, because we have at least half the day, tomorrow morning we'll just give a little bit more about the angels. Give a little bit more about the angels and their relationship to the human being. We won't have time to talk about the relationship of the angels with the kuffar or the fasiqun among the Muslims. But inshallah, we'll talk about a little bit more about the relationship of the angels with the human being. Them making dua for us, etc. And then we'll go straight to shaitan and the jinn, inshallah. If there are no more questions, Yes.
Is there ever a time where the angels often squat with the humans?
Is there any time the angels offer salat with the jinn?
No, offer salat with humans.
With humans? Yes, I mentioned the hadith already. Yeah, I mentioned the hadith. There's something here that the brother has given to me. I'm referencing the belief in the angels. It says, the belief in the angels, after the kids finished watching their cartoons, my younger daughter came to the study, sat on the chair, and said nothing. She said, she sat there until I finished writing and asked me, Father, do you know Casper the ghost? The one in the cartoons? Yes, dear, I know him. When I was a kid, I used to watch his cartoons every day. We used to sing his songs, but without understanding what we were saying. Is Casper an angel? No, he's a jinn. Many people call the jinn that appear to them ghosts. Angels are creatures different from jinns or ghosts. Why did Allah create the angels? Allah created them to do many things in the heaven and on earth. They are completely obedient to Allah, and they are very large and very strong. And they do everything Allah orders them to do. Some of them carry the arsh, the throne of Allah. Some care for heaven, and others care and guard hellfire. Some protect the people, especially the believers, and ward hazards from them. Some record our good deeds, and others record our bad deeds. And so they do many things. Are they like us? Do they eat and get tired? No. Then it goes on and on and on. So I guess what this is an indication simply that we should teach our children these aspects of Tawheed, so they won't grow up thinking that Casper or Superman, Superman is an angel, or Superman is a jinn, or something like this. And you'd be surprised. Maybe you don't think your child may be thinking like this until one day you sit down and you talk to them, and you'd be surprised. They may think that. Yeah. Because at the Muslim school, I always tell the children where I work to give Barney Shahada. Out in the preschool, I said, when you go home now and you see Barney on television, you better give Barney Shahada. See? So, inshallah, we should instruct our children properly. Subhanaka wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Barney's got a bad habit. I love you. No. I don't let my kids watch that.
This is
Barney's cat.
I can have one of these?
Yeah.
Who's this from?
They are Coen brothers.
So if you can't watch Barney, you can't watch
but
Barney.
But you gotta put them in the middle.
Barney
got the
hell
out too.
I love him. You got him. You got him.
I left some out, but I did as much as I left the other one out. I didn't put all the proofs in there. I think I did check some.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين إن شاء الله we'd like to try to pick up where we left off yesterday إن شاء الله try to finish as much as we can of his angels and then we'll go straight to the subject of jinn and the shaitan إن شاء الله. Yesterday, we mentioned after one question came about the evidences for the angels inciting the human beings to do good. And we gave some examples, one example at least, of the Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam making an oath that he would have relationships with 100 of his wives during the night, and that he would send out this child, this boy, fi sabilillah, and the angel told him to say inshallah, and he didn't say it, and he forgot, and then he, as the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, he only had one, only one of his wives gave birth to a deformed child. So this was something, this is an example of him, of the angels inciting the human being to do good. We've also mentioned yesterday briefly before we ended that there are some proofs that we gave that an angel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam other than Jibreel to bring revelation. That Jibreel wasn't the only angel to bring revelation. And we'd like to just build on that just briefly, maybe for 2 or 3 minutes, that to just mention that Jibreel's function was not only to bring revelation, but also his function was to teach the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and which he used to do every year in Ramadan and every night of the nights of Ramadan, and he used to teach him the Quran, as is mentioned in the hadith in al-Bukhari. Also, he used to lead the Prophet in Salah, not only lead him, not only teach him Salah, but he used to also lead him in the Salah. And there are some lengthy hadith that we can find in al-Bukhari under that subject. One shorter version of a narration that we can find in the Mustadrak of al-Hakim and also in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was not only that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taught how to make salah, the operative way of salah, the actual modality of the salah, but also Jibreel taught him, according to this hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad and the Mustadrak of al-Hakim, he also taught him the times of the salah, and he also taught him how to make wudu. And this hadith says that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, أتاني جبريل في أول ما أوحي إلي فعلمني الوضوء والصلاة. That Jibreel came to me عليه السلام in the beginning of when things were being revealed to me. The first time that I started receiving was revelation. Jibreel came to me and he taught me الوضوء and الصلاة. فلما فرغ من الوضوء. And the Prophet said, when he finished making the wudu, meaning making it to show me, he said, أَخَذَ غَرْفَةً مِنَ الْمَاءِ فَنَضَحَ بِهَا فَرْجَهُ. Says that he, meaning Jibreel, used to take a handful of water, a غَرْفَة, and sprinkle his private parts with it. Jibreel's private parts, when he used to come in the form of a man. And this, of course, was to teach the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the method of making wudu, and also this added portion of this ritual that probably some of us are not familiar with. Alhamdulillah. We also know that Jibreel was commissioned to protect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on occasions, and also to heal the Prophet by the permission of Allah. To heal the Prophet by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also know that there's some other functions that Jibreel carried out. One of them is that he used to fight along with the Messenger of Allah in wars. He fought with him in the Battle of Badr, and he fought with him in the Battle of Khandaq, which is the Battle of the Trench, Ghazwatul Khandaq. And he also accompanied the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, in his Isra, al-Isra, when he made his night journey, and also in other occasions. We also know that the angels, as we mentioned briefly yesterday, that they incite the human being to do good. There is a hadith that the authenticity of the hadith is questionable, but the meaning of the hadith is authentic, and the meaning of the hadith is based on a verse of Quran. Once again, the authenticity of this hadith is questionable, but we'll read it anyway. We're not using it as a source of dalil. We're just using it just to give you the generality the general idea of what's about to be presented from the verse. This hadith says that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, said, "Inna lishaytan lamma bibni Adam." That shaytan has an incitement, and this lamma is an incitement in the form of, it's a prodding or an encouragement in the form of a whisper. Inna lishaytani lamma bibni Adam. That surely shaytan, that he has a lamma for the sons of Adam, for the children of Adam. Walil malaki lamma. Walil malaki lamma. And the angels also have this lamma. They have an incitement, a prodding. فَأَمَّا لَمَّةُ الشَّيْطَانِ فَإِعَادُ بِالْشَّرِّ. As for the lamma, or this instigative type whispering from the shaitan, as for the one of shaitan, this is the one that threatens, an insightful type of threatening the human being in his heart with evil. In other words, it is a whispering of the shaitan to instigate and prod the human being to do evil. وَتَكْذِيبُ بِالْحَقِّ, and to deny the truth. وَأَمَّا لَمَّةُ الْمَلَكِ فَإِعَادُ بِالْخَيْرِ. As for the lamma of the angels, of course, it is an incitement or a promise, an insightful promise to do which is good. وَتَصْدِيقُ بِالْحَقِّ, and to affirm the truth. فَمَنْ وَجَدَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا, and whoever sees anything from this, from either the first category or the second, from the shaytan or from the malak, فَلْيَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ, then he should know that is from Allah, meaning the second thing. وَلْيَحْمَدْ اللَّهِ, then he should praise Allah after he realizes it, after he realizes that something is inciting him. Oh, you know, you're walking down the street and you see a brother, and you know that this brother needs something to eat, or he needs some clothes, or to help an old lady across the street, or whatever, to help a brother putting his bags inside of a car, whatever. The meaning of this hadith, once again, which may be questionable if it's authentic or not, the meaning of it is that we, the Muslims, should immediately realize that it is from Allah. And secondly, we should praise Allah. وَمَنْ وَجَدَ الْأُخْرَى فَلْيَتَعَوَّذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And whoever realizes or notices the other one, the former one, then he should seek refuge with Allah from الشيطان الرجيم. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم recited this ayah. He recited this ayah that's in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 268, and yes, 268. الشيطان يعيدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء. The shaitan promises you or incites you with destitution and enjoins on you al-fahsha, lewdness. وَاللَّهُ يَعِيدُكُمْ مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلًا. And Allah promises you forgiveness from Himself with bounty. وَاللَّهُ وَافِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And Allah is all-embracing, all-knowing.
Did that go to the ayah that the translation is if those who want a whisper or a glamour from shaitan hurts them, they seek refuge from Allah?
I'm not sure. Also, we know that the angels, they protect the action of the children of Adam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the surah entitled Al-Infitar, which is the 82nd surah of the Quran, in the 10th, 11th, and 12th ayah, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. And according to Pickthall's translation, surely they are above you guardians. Surely they are above you guardians, generous and recording, who know all that you do. So they protect the deeds and the actions of the human being. And this is something that's, I don't see the brothers here who were asking those questions yesterday. But inshallah, we can relay this information to them. Because this is what they were mentioning yesterday about a little bit more detailed information on the relationship between the angels and the human beings. Also, we know that the human being has this relationship with the angels, so much so that the angels are responsible for not just inciting us, but also writing down what we do. And as we mentioned yesterday, it wouldn't make a difference if it was just a groan or a grunt. Every single thing that the angels, that we do, the angels write down. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted the human being with. We mentioned the angels that they that are called Raqib and Atid, which are really not their names, but are their what? Anybody remember? Their attributes, the descriptions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in His glorious Quran in Surah 50, which is Surah Qaf, Surah 50, verses 16 through 18. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We surely created the human being, and we know what his soul whispers to him, and we are nearer to him than his jugular vein. And this, incidentally, the first part of this ayah, ayah 16, is talking about Allah, and the second part of the ayah is not talking about Allah. It's talking about the angels. The part that says we're closer to him than his jugular vein is not talking about Allah. It's talking about the angels. Then the 17th ayah says, إِذْ يَتَلَقَّى الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدٍ. When the two receivers, meaning Raqib and Atid, receive him seated on the right hand and on the left. Then the 18th ayah, مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. He utters not a word, but there is with him an observer ready. And it's interesting, if you look at this, and I mentioned this yesterday, those brothers who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed with his infinitely unboundless mercy and gifts. Like Sheikh Anwar here in Philadelphia, and also Mujahid, and those brothers who have excelled in the Arabic language and other studies. It would be good that we can sit and talk to them about some of these fine points in the usage of the Arabic language. This particular ayah says, مَا يَلْفِهُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ, that not a word is uttered. And this particular verse, like many other verses in the Quran, this verse starts out with something for those who are studying Arabic. It's called a harf al-nafi. A harf al-nafi is a particle of negation. Ma. Ma yalfadhu min qawlin. Harf al-nafi. This ma means no or nothing. It's negating what's coming after it. And then it says yalfadhu min qawlin. And this min, which is a harf al-jar, which is a prepositional particle, when this min is used in the Quran, some of the scholars of Islam call this a particle called a particle of increase. Some say no, don't call it this, but others say yes, it's called harful za'id. Za'ida. That it is a particle of increase, min. Ma yalfudhu min qawlin. When this ma is used, this harf al-nafi, along with this min, it gives extra emphasis. And it generalizes this, the word that came after the particle of negation. What that means simply is that absolutely anything that is uttered, nothing that is uttered is left out from being written. It doesn't just mean statements. It doesn't mean sentences. It doesn't mean words. It doesn't mean letters. It means all of that, even a grunt. So if a person, like Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, one day when he was on his deathbed, rahimahullah, and one of the tabi'un, Tawus, radiallahu anhu, one of the end of the at the end of the era of the tabi'in, he was reminding him, because Imam Ahmad was groaning from the pains of death. And Tawus reminded him that the aneen, it's called aneen, the groaning and the moaning of an individual was written. And Imam Ahmad stopped moaning. Because ما يلفظ من قول. Everything that we say is being written. Everything. And it can't be erased. So this is something that we should remember. And this should increase our iman and this increase our behavior, because the tongue is part of actions. It is an instrument of action. It is not an instrument that is of the heart. It is an instrument of the bodily limbs. So when we say that we, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions good deeds or bad deeds, the tongue is part or part and parcel of one of those two things. So we should be, so we should not be fooled and not be duped by shaitan to think that just because I said it and I didn't do it, saying it is not as grave as doing it. No, because the tongue is no different from the hands or the feet or the eyes or the sexual organs. I don't understand. Yes, of course, it's a limb. It applies to jihad. It applies to any action that we commit. It doesn't make any difference what discipline or what branch of Islam it is.
So what you're saying is if we have a evil thought or something, but we don't carry through on it, will we still be held accountable?
No. If we have an evil thought...
It's recorded, but...
No, it's not recorded. No. There are some evidences that that would lead one to believe that the angels write down what we think. There's some evidences. But the strongest of opinion is that the innermost secrets of the human being are not recorded by the angels. And we know from the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that if the person has a himmah, if they have a desire to do something wrong and they don't do it, it is recorded as a hasana, as a good deed. And if they have a desire to do a good, bad deed and they do it, then it's recorded as one sayyah, which is one bad deed. Now,
evidence, I read that there are degrees of sin, and that the punishment or the retribution would not be the same. If someone had said the words and committed adultery, for lack of a better term, with their limb, versus they had verbalized or seen with their eyes.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah. I mean, adultery is adultery. Is the brother, if there's anyone in the back that can't hear what he's saying, the brother is saying that there's degrees of sin, the degrees of retribution of the sin. And absolutely, he's correct. Anyone who commits the adultery or the fornication, depending upon which one, which category you fall under, and we hope that we don't fall in any of them, anyone who commits the fornication or adultery of the eyes is not like the person who carries it out with their private part. That's for sure. Absolutely, you're right. In fact, the hadith is clear where it says that the private parts either confirm or deny it. So this shows that definitely the sin of person who looks at the woman or the man, or kisses the woman or the man, or touches the woman with their hand or the man, is not as grave as actual penetration with the sexual organs. Absolutely not. It's not. One is punishable by death or lashes, and the other ones are not. So this relationship of the angels, you know, once again, we mentioned this months ago, that we don't want to just study these things just to show off, just to say that we know the names of this angel and the function of that angel, the duty of this angel. We want to learn these things so that it can bring us closer to Allah and farther away from the fire, and make our actions change how we comport ourselves, our comportment through our daily lives. That we know that there are two creatures that are assigned to us that write down every single thing that we say and we do. Everything. Inshallah, this should help us a lot. There is a verse in the Quran that really brings this home. This verse that we mentioned, Surah Qaf, it gives you a generality on them writing down what we say and what we or what we do. But the there's another ayah in Quran, which is, a statement of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is part and parcel of a verse of Quran in Surah Al-Kahf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابُ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And the book is placed, as Pickball says, and you see the guilty fearful of that which is therein. And they say, what kind of book is that that leaves not a small thing, nor a large thing, but it has enumerated it, or has counted it. And they find all that they did confronting them. And your Lord wrongs no one. This is Surah 18, Surah Al-Kahf, the cave, verse 49. Yes,
Akhi.
The young brother is saying that he learned in one of the schools that he attended that you get a good deed out of the bad deed. I guess someone could rationally say that there may be some good, there's going to be some good out of a bad deed, especially if you repent, if it's a repentable bad deed. But we don't want to say that unless we have some absolute proof from the Quran or Sunnah that there's a good deed in a bad deed. We don't want to absolutely say that without proof.
So,
Allahu A'lam. Allah knows best.
On Surah Al-Kahf,
let's stick to the subject of angels, inshallah. It does not deal with the angels. Let's stick with this, inshallah. But to answer the question anyway, go ahead.
It's recommended, I've heard that it's recommended that this surah be read before Jummah, or in preparation for Jummah Friday.
Absolutely. Not preparation, but it is a sunnah to read it on Jummah, which means any time after Maghrib on Thursday, all the way up till Maghrib on the end of Asr on that Friday. Inshallah, if we can, for sake of time, let's stick. That question wasn't really long, but let's try to stick towards the subject, inshallah, which is the angels. Also in the Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 13 and 14, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us some more information that we should take heed to, where He says, وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا اقْرَأْ كِتَابَكَ كَفَى بِنَفْسِكَ الْيَوْمَ وَعَلَيْكَ حَسِيبًا. And every man's, and Pickthall translates it, augury. And every man's augury have we fastened to his neck. And we shall bring forth for him on the day of resurrection a book which he will find wide open. And then the 14th ayah says, and it will be said unto him, read your book, your soul suffices as reckoner against you on this day. So we should take heed to this once again and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has recorded everything that we're going to be, that we do, and we should just try our best to remember these things. Also, we mentioned yesterday in brief that the angel on the right writes the good deeds and the angel on the left writes the bad deeds. And we mentioned the hadith in the Mu'jam of Mu'jam al-Kabir of Imam al-Tabarani, rahimahullah, with a good chain, from on the authority of Abu Umama radiallahu anhu. And we mentioned this at the tail end of the class yesterday, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I mentioned this in passing just to show us the relationship, number one, the mercy, the extreme infinite mercy that Allah has on His servants, and number two, the relationship and the kindness of the angels to us, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, inna sahib al-shimali layarfa'u al-qalama sitta sa'atin 'ala al-'abd al-muslim al-mukhti' fa'in nadama واستغفر الله منها ألقاها وإلا كتبت واحدة. It says that a rough translation, that the companion on the left, who is who?
Atid.
He lifts the pen for 6 hours. He lifts the pen for 6 hours from the sinning Muslim slave. If he repents, has remorse and regret, and seeks the forgiveness of Allah from that sin, the angel discards it. And if he doesn't, then it's written down as one. The hadith itself, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إن صاحب الشمال يلا يرفع القلم 6 ساعات عن العبد المسلم المخطي. That the companion on the left, meaning Atid, you have Raqib and Atid. Raqib is writing the good deeds, Atid is writing the bad deeds. That he lifts the pen that he writes with 6 hours, for 6 hours, right? From the sinning Muslim slave, servant of Allah. فَإِنَّ نَدِمَ وَاسْتَغْفَرُ اللَّهَ مِنْهَا. If he has remorse, he regrets what he did, he seeks the forgiveness of Allah of that, from that sin, أَلْقَاهَا, then the angel discards it. Discards it means what? He doesn't write it down. وَإِلَّا, and if he doesn't do this, doesn't do what? Have it doesn't have regret, and makes istighfar, then kutibat wahidatan, then it's written down as one deed. Alright? Or kutibat wahidatan. Okay. We also mentioned that not only do the angels make dua, and they invite the human being, the Muslim, to do good, and we mentioned some other hadiths yesterday. We also know that the angels try, T-R-Y, that is, they try the children of Adam. They test them. And we mentioned in passing yesterday the incident of who was it that we mentioned?
Harut
and Marut. Thank you. Harut and Marut, the two angels that were came as a trial for the people of Babylon. I wish that we had an English translation of Al-Bukhari here. I don't see it. But there's a very, very long hadith. It's not up there, no. And a very beautiful hadith of, and I'll give you the reference for it so you can go home and check it on your own. It's in Al-Bukhari. It's in Muslim also. It's in Al-Bukhari in the book of Al-Anbiya, the Prophets, volume 4. Page 443, hadith 670. In Muslim, I don't know the reference, but it's in the book of Zuhd, and I'm afraid to translate Zuhd. Zuhd, Z-U-H-D. I guess it can be loosely translated as aestheticism, the book of aestheticism. Or renouncing the world, or something like that. The book, this Zuhd is, you know, like not being that much concerned with the worldly things, you know, and always looking towards the Akhirah. No. Fitan is trials and tribulations. Yeah. This is Zuhd. In Muslim is Zuhd, and in Al-Bukhari is the book, it's in the Kitab al-Anbiya, of the Prophet. Anyway, it mentions three people from the children of Israel. Probably you've read this hadith before or heard it. It's about the person who was, one was bald, one was blind, and the other one was a leper. Right. And it's a very, very, very beautiful hadith, and it's a very long hadith. So you can go home and you can check it. But this is an example of the angels trying, giving ibtila to the children of Adam. We the human being. Also, we mentioned yesterday in brief that the angels take the soul of the human being from their bodies. Yes.
Perhaps one of the points that the angels expanding on those literal figures in the ayah about
heaven, the sight of the angel's
death. I didn't hear you just now. The sight of the angel's death. And that sight.
Yeah, what the brother's asking for, because they can't hear the questions. You know, but what the brother's asking is, he wants to try to get the discrepancy cleared up, or some seeming obscurity, you know, within himself and ourselves, cleared up on this topic of number A, for instance, the angel of death appearing to human beings right before they're going to die, and them seeing the angel, and also the companions, Omar's hadith, the hadith called Hadith Jibril, where he came in the form of a man and sat with the Prophet and asked those series of questions. And we mentioned this yesterday about people not seeing angels. That they only, those incidents where people saw angels, they saw angels in the form of men. And they did not know they were angels. As for the people seeing the angel of death, Allahu A'lam. Yet the speaker has no knowledge of this. I've heard it for years, but I haven't seen anyone bring any concrete evidence yet on human beings actually seeing the angel of death in its natural form. That's what we mean. In its natural form, the form that the angels were created in. Yes, people have seen angels in the form of men, but they didn't know they were angels. No. that, and I wish Tawfiq was here so he can tell us the numbers of these surahs. Does Tawfiq have a khalifa here or something? He doesn't have a khalifa here to tell us the numbers of these surahs. You know the numbers of these surahs too, man, when you hear them? You know Fussilat? What number is Fussilat? What, mashallah, bro. You got a khalifa. We also know that the angels, they bring the glad tidings to the believers when they're about to take their souls. We know this, that when the death comes, that an angel descends to the believing slave of Allah, and the angels descend to bring glad tidings and greetings to the Muslim believing slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In chapter 41, the surah that is called Al-Fussilat, or Ha means Sajda, Al-Sajda, in verse 30 and 31, Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُوا عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. Surely those who say, our Lord is Allah, and afterwards are upright, the angels descend upon them saying, do not have any fear and do not have any grief or sadness, but hear glad tidings of the paradise which you are promised. And then the 31st ayah says, نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة. We are your protecting friends in the life of the world and in the hereafter. ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم. There you will have all that your soul desire. ولكم فيها ما تدعون. And there you will have all for which you pray for. As Pickfall translates it. So we know from this that the angels, they give us glad tidings for those people who say Allah is their Lord and then they perform righteous deeds. Righteous deeds, of course, here they are upright, meaning following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The angels will come to them and will give them the glad tidings of the Jannah and assure them that they will be the individuals who will be companions of theirs in the next life also. Alhamdulillah. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us the information about the angels giving the tidings to the kuffar. They also have their tidings. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أخرجوا أنفسكم اليوم تجزون عذاب الهون بما كنتم تقولون على الله غير الحق وكنتم عن آياته تستكبرون. And Pickfall translates this as, deliver up your souls, give up your souls. This is the day that you will be awarded the doom of degradation. This day you are awarded the doom of degradation for that you spoke concerning Allah other than the truth and scorned His portents, as Pickfall says. Actually, what it says is that you denied His signs, His ayat, and you were arrogant. This is the 93rd verse of Surah Al-An'am, the 6th chapter of the Quran, verse 93.
I believe that some people even want to set up a balance of a scale for these people?
Yeah, inshallah, we're going to hold this until when we can come back on another date and deal with the whole subject on the hereafter. Inshallah, that will come into that subject on those people who, when we get to this section on al-hisab, on the reckoning, because there will be some individuals that will go straight without any reckoning. And the Prophet mentions how many, the number of the people who will go with this without this reckoning.
On the mark of the last ayah about give up your souls to disbelievers, I read something that they'll say no, and then the command will be given to the angels, the punishment to tear their souls out.
Yeah, the brother, once again, for the sisters who can't hear, the brother is saying that on this ayah that we just mentioned in chapter 6, verse 39, where Allah says, أَخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, give up your souls, he says that there will be individuals, he's read, where there will be, or heard, there will be individuals who will say at that time, no, and then the angels will be commanded to rip their souls out, as Allah mentions in the other verse in the Quran, النَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقَ, that he snatches their souls out. There's also some differences of opinion among the people of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that says that some say that the death of the mu'min is like when his soul is removed, it's like the dripping of water, and like drops of water, and the soul being removed from the bodies of the kuffar are violent, very like a person being stabbed or something like that. It's very painful. We're going to save this also. This is not directly related to the angels. We're going to save this, inshallah, for the next life subject. Inshallah. I'm trying to get through this thing on the angels so we can get to the jinn and shaitan and get to the messengers and the prophets. Because, believe it or not, 5 o'clock came, or close to 5 o'clock came very quickly yesterday. We also, as far as the relationship of the angels with the human being, we know that we mentioned briefly how the angel came to Musa, Malakul Maut came to Musa, and he came for him and he knocked his eye out. Anybody who wants the reference for that, inshallah, it is Bukhari, volume 4 in al-Bukhari, is page 409, hadith number 619. And in Muslim, it's volume 4, page 1264, hadith 5851. And this hadith is full of a lot of information on this, a variety of things, not just dealing with the angels, the relationship of the angels with the human being. And we also know, from what has been mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah, that the angels will interrogate the human being. And they also will be there when the Muslim, the human beings are gathered together on the day of Hashr, and also in Jannah or Jahannam, angels will be connected to the human being in that sense. We also know that the human beings who believe in Allah in the last day, they are beloved by the angels. We know this. There's a hadith in al-Bukhari and Muslim, and this one, I don't remember the reference, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna Allah tabarak wa ta'ala idha ahabba abdan nada Jibreel," that surely Allah, and this is my translation, and once again please forgive me for my translation because I don't have this English, I don't have the English in front of me, surely Allah the Blessed, the Exalted, when he loves a servant, he calls Jibreel. إِنَّ اللَّهَ, this is what the Prophet said, that he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَبَّ فُلَانًا فَأَحَبَّهُ, surely Allah loves so and so, so you love him. فَيُحِبُّهُ جِبْرِيلُ, so immediately Jibreel, he loves him, because whoever Allah loves, Jibreel is going to love him. ثُمَّ يُنَادِ جِبْرِيلُ فِي السَّمَاءِ, then Jibreel calls out to the heavens, and he says, "Inna Allah qad ahabba fulan fa ahabbuhu," surely Allah loves so and so, so then you now love him. "Fa yuhibbuhu ahlus sama," And the inhabitants of the heavens, they also love this servant. فَيُوضَعُ لَهُ الْقُبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And the position that that individual is given now is the position of acceptance in the earth. That means he's also being loved now in the earth. And this is this mahabbatuhu of al-mu'mineen, the love that the angels have for the human being, is a very, once again, one of those phenomenal things. Because if we remember the hadith yesterday, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he hears the atitus sama, the squeaking of the heavens, and he says it shouldn't be blamed for squeaking. Remember this hadith we mentioned yesterday, that it shouldn't be blamed for squeaking. The reason why is because the angels are making tasbih, subhanallah, in the heavens, and he said that there is what? What did the Prophet say? Anybody remember? Just one day ago, man, we forgot already. Right? Huh? There's not a handspan in the heavens except that there's an angel that is sajid or qa'im, that is either prostrating or standing. So if you just imagine the size of the heavens, and there's not a space in the heavens except that there's an angel glorifying Allah, and then you add that with this hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that Allah is saying he loves a servant, and then he tells Jibreel to love him, and then Jibreel loves him, and then Jibreel tells all the inhabitants of the heavens to love him, and you have all these angels loving the servant of Allah on earth. So Allah Akbar. And we mentioned also the incitement of or the correction, so to speak, of the angels for the human being, inciting them to do good, and also correcting them when they don't hit the mark. We also know that the angels make salah on the believers. And when we mean by make salah, I left it untranslated instead of translating the word salah for a reason. Because the word salah linguistically means, anybody here know what salah means linguistically?
Dua.
It means dua. Ahsan. The word salah means dua. That's the literal meaning of salah. According to the scholars of Islam, when you find the word salah, we'll take it from the verb first. The verb for salah is salla. That's the past tense verb, salla. And the present tense verb of salah is yusalli. And one of the verbal nouns, they call masdar, of the words salla, yusalli, is salah, which literally means dua. It just means to call or invoke. That's the literal meaning of salah. When according to the scholars of Islam, when you hear or see or read the word salah, like sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or wa yusalli, yusalli, or the word salah, wa salat wa salam ala rasulillah. When you see the word salah being used, and the active agent, or for those who are studying Arabic, the fa'il is the name of Allah, is the fa'il. And I'm saying the name of Allah, we don't want to say Allah is the fa'il, we want to say the name of Allah is the fa'il. If you find the verb salla being used, or the word salah being used, in connected with the lafzul jalala, the auspicious name of Allah, then and it's being related to the messenger of Allah, the word salah doesn't mean dua now. It leaves its literal meaning, and it means that Allah is praising the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam among the high angels in heaven. The word salah now means Allah, this is sana'ullahi alayhi عند الملل الأعلى. It is the praising of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam among the angels in the heavens. That's the meaning of salah here. When you find the word salah used in reference to the angels on the Prophet, the angels are making salah on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The word salah now doesn't mean praise, nor does it mean the linguistic meaning dua. It means istighfar, that the angels are asking forgiveness for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thirdly, when the word salah is used from the human being, al-adimiyun, the human being is using the word salah on the Prophet, the word salah goes back to the linguistic meaning, which means dua. So when you read in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَالْمَلَائِكَتُهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا in Surah Ahzab, in the 43rd verse of Surah Ahzab. I think Surah Ahzab is chapter 56, thank you. The English translation is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ Yusalluna ala nabi. In reference to Allah, when Allah is making the salah on the Prophet, here it means praise among the angels. And malaikatuhu, the angels are making salah on the Prophet, it means they're seeking forgiveness for the Prophet. But when we say, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we're asking Allah to praise him, and we're making dua for him. That's the meaning of salah in those three categories. And the reason why I brought this up is to bring us to that point, because as I mentioned in the beginning, that the angels make salah for the believers. So when the angels are making salah for the believers, the same meaning that it is for the Prophet is the same meaning for us. They're actually asking for forgiveness for us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's quite a few pieces of evidence for this in the Quran and also in the authentic hadith. Okay, inshallah, now we'd like to just give some samples of the actions which the angels will make salah for the believers. Examples that the angels will make salah for the believers. The first is when I think you mentioned it in brief yesterday, or someone mentioned it in brief yesterday. This is a tangent of what was mentioned, that the angels make dua for the human being when that human being is an instructor in the things that are good. This is the first example. There's many, many examples. We're only going to give a couple, inshallah. When a person is mu'allim, when he's mu'allimun nas bil khayr, when he teaches the human being to do good, when he's inciting, wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr, when he enjoins the human being to do the good from the things of the truth, meaning the Quran and the Sunnah, and when he enjoins human beings, the Muslims, to be patient and persevere in the times of hardship, and also in the times of the things that are halal and things that are a comfort. The angels make dua. And there's a hadith in the collection of At-Tabarani and also in the Sunnah of At-Tirmidhi with an authentic chain from Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتُهُ حَتَّى النَّمْلَةِ مِنْ جَحْرِهَا وَحَتَّى الْحُوتِ فِي الْبَحْرِ لا يصلون على المعلم الناس الخير. He said, "Surely Allah and His angels, even the ants in their holes, and the fish in the sea, make du'a on the one, or make salah. One will say du'a because that will distort the meaning that we just presented." We'll say, make salah, لا يصلون على معلم الخير, معلم الناس بالخير, or الخير. That the one who teaches the people to do good, and of course the best of people, as Allah mentions in the Quran, are those who invite people to Islam, and they say, I am Muslim. And the best of good that could be taught is al-Quran. So every time a person teaches Quran, or teaches Hadith, or teaches anything that has to do with Islam, he teaches a person these things, whether it is for 5 seconds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the angels are making salah on that person. Also, the angels makes salah on the individuals who say, who go to the masjid with the intention of making the salah or sitting and listening to the dhikr, etc. There's a hadith that in Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Anna al-malaikata tusalli 'ala alladhi yati al-masjid lis-salah," that the angels make salah on the one who goes to the masjid for salah. Alright? And they say, "Allahumma salli 'alayhi." You see the pattern of the angels? The angels make the salah on the human being, on the Muslim. Then the angels immediately implore Allah to do the same. Allahumma salli alayhi. Salli alayhi. Oh Allah, you also make salah on him. Right? Allahumma arhamhu. Oh Allah, have mercy on him. Ma lam bihi, ma lam yuhdith fihi. The Prophet then ended the verse, by the hadith, by saying that nothing, ما لم يؤذي فيه, nothing will harm him as long as he doesn't break wudu. Nothing will harm him. Nothing will harm. ما لم يؤذي فيه, ما لم يحدث فيه. As long as he doesn't pass wind or urinate or defecate or anything that will break his wudu. And we know there's a few things that break wudu other than that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the reference of this hadith, the angels, Allah's angels make salah on the person, Allah makes salah on the person, and he sends his mercy on the person. And this hadith you can find in the first volume of Al-Bukhari, and page 277, hadith number 466. Also, the angels make salah on the Muslim who stand in the first row. There's a hadith in the Sunan of Abi Dawood and Ibn Majah and the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal on the authority of Al-Barra' radiyallahu anhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qad, "Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala saffil awwal," that Allah and His angels make salah on the first row, meaning on the ones who are on the first row. In fact, if you read this in Arabic, if you read this in Arabic and you weren't careful, it actually literally says, if you didn't understand it, that Allah and His angels make salah on the first row. But what it means is that Allah and His angels makes the salah according to the definition to each entity, for those who are standing on the first row. But it doesn't mention anything about people standing on the first row. So if you read it in Arabic literally, you would think, if you didn't know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His angels are making salah. Also in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, it says, "Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'ala as-saffil muqaddam." This hadith is much more general and specific at the same time. Because the first one says, "Ala as-saffil awwal," that they only make salah, not only, but they make salah on the ones who are in the first row. But the other hadith, it says, "Ala as-saffil muqaddam," they make salah on the ones who are in the rows that are in the front. So that means, if the Muslim strives to get on the first row, and he doesn't make it, or he's on the second or third row, alhamdulillah, he gets this reward. And incidentally, this is only for the men. This is only for the men. Because why? Because the best row for the men are the first rows, and the best row for the women are the last rows. Now, can we safely say that Allah and the angels make salah on the women who are in the last row? That was a question? That's my question too. Can we say that? You say yes?
Because of the women, it's encouraged them to do what the Prophet said, to position themselves like people of life in the salah. Then I would think a lot of the women.
The brother says yes. The brother says he would think so because since this is the best row, and if she goes with a niyyah to stand in the best row, which is the farthest row in the back, he would say yes, Allah would reward them. And what would you say?
I would say no, because it's better for them to pray at home.
Yes.
Well, we're not talking about it, but, you know, we know it's better for them to pray at home for the obligatory salah. But let's say that they're in the salah. And we don't want to make this a fit class, but, you know, you still say no? It's better to say, I don't know. Because there's no text. When you don't have a text, it's better to just say, I don't know. But it could be implied, because you have in the science of Quran and science of Hadith, in the science of Islam in general, you have what they call mantuq and mafhum, explicit and implicit. So it can be implied that, yes, the women will get that reward. But the reason why it's better to stay away from it and say no is that this is a matter of the unseen. And to use the rational thinking in the matters of the unseen, and to use things that are implicit in matters of the unseen, is something in the area that we should stay away from.
All right. And I say 5 months all the way. He explicitly said the best salat one makes is in our bay, then in our fourth salat. And the least favorite salat for us is masjid.
There's no hadith that says the least favorite salat for the woman is in the masjid. The hadith says, yes, that the best salah for her is in the house. But this still doesn't negate the fact that she gets reward when she prays in the masjid. Yeah, this is what we're saying, though. Because we don't want to make the sisters think that they don't get any reward for praying in the masjid. But absolutely, the best salah for the woman is in the house. The obligatory salah. Well, I'm not going to touch that one. Also, the individuals that stay in their places, the people that stay in their places after they make their salah, they also receive this from the angels. It is collected by Abu Dawood in his Sunan, and in Nasa'i in his Sunan, with an authentic chain, authentic meaning sahih, from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called, he said, Al Malaikatu to Sali ala ahadikum ma dama fi masallahu ladi salla fi ma lam yuhdith aw yakum. Allahumma gfir lahu, Allahumma rahamhu. The angels make salah on any of you as long as he stays in his place of which he prayed. مَا لَمْ يُحْدِثْ, as long as he doesn't break his wudu, أَوْ يُقِمْ, or he doesn't stand up. And the dua that the angels make is, O Allah, forgive him. O Allah, have mercy on him. Also, the Also, the angels make dua for the individuals who close the ranks. Who close the ranks. So we should remember this. All these things are relative to our behavior. We should remember these things. If we want all these different types of dua from the angels, then we should try to practice these things. In the Sunan of Ibn Majah, and the Muslim Ibn Ahmed, and the Mustadrak of Al-Hakim, with a Hassan chain, with a good chain, from Aisha radiallahu anha, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَصِلُّونَ الصُّفُوفِ وَمَنْ صَدَّ فَرْجًا رَفَعَتَ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرْجَةً رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرْجَةً. Surely Allah the Most High and the angels make salah on those who join the rows. And whoever fills up the gaps of that row, Allah raises him a degree. Allah raises him a degree. Also, the angels make salah on the individuals who take suhoor when they fast. in the Sahih of Ibn Hibban, rahimahullah, and the Mu'jam al-Awsat of Imam al-Tabarani, with a Hassan chain, with a good chain, from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, him and his father, be pleased, may Allah be pleased with them both. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على المتصحرين. That surely Allah and His angels make salah on those who make suhoor, who take the suhoor. The angels also make salah on the people who make salah on the Prophet. As mentioned in the verse, and as mentioned in the hadith of Imam Ahmed, in his Musnad, and from Adbiya, in his book called Al-Mukhtara, from Amr ibn Rabi'a, with a Hassan chain, with a good chain, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, ما من عبد يصلي علي إلا صلت عليه الملائكة ما دام يصلي علي فليقل العبد من ذلك أو ليكثر. As long there is no servant who makes salah on me, except that the angels make salah on him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As long as he's making the salah on me, the angels make salah on him. Ma dama yusalli alayya. And I heard one imam here in the United States, whose name I'm not going to mention, said it's not necessary to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Prophet all the time. I remember him saying this a few years back. May Allah guide him and all of us. Ameen. Also, the angels make salah on the Muslim who visits the sick Muslim. Ibn Hibban collected this hadith with an authentic chain from Ali radiallahu anhu, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما من امرئ مسلم يعود مسلما إلا بعثت إلا ابتعث الله 70,000 ملك يصلون عليه في أي ساعات النهار كان حتى يمسي وأي ساعات الليل كان حتى يصبح. And a rough translation from me is, there is not a Muslim individual who visits a Muslim إِلَّا بَتَعَثَ اللَّهُ 70,000 مَلَكِ, except that Allah dispatches or sends 70,000 angels who pray on him in every hour of the day, no matter what time it is, until it becomes evening, and every hour of the night, no matter what time it is in the night, until the morning. 70,000 angels for just visiting a sick Muslim. And another narration, another riwayah of Ibn Abu Dawood and Al-Hakim, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, ما من رجل يعود مريضا ممسيا إلا خرج معه 70,000 ملك يستغفرون له حتى يصبح ومن أتاه مصبحا خرج معه 70,000 ملك يستغفرون له حتى يمسي. There is not an individual who visits a sick individual in the evening except that when he goes out to do this, 70,000 angels go with him seeking the forgiveness of Allah for him until he returns in the morning. They seek forgiveness until the morning. And whoever goes out, whoever visits in the morning, 70,000 angels also do the same, seeking forgiveness for him until the evening.
So it's better for Muslim and non-Muslim.
The generality of the second hadith would make you think that it was a kafir also. But the first hadith is a clarification of the second hadith. And Allah knows best. That means that it only means Muslim. Because the first hadith says specifically Muslim. And the second hadith says anyone. Just sick, marida. So from this, if we only had the second hadith, this would make us, we would have to accept it as it means any sick person. But because of the second hadith, the first hadith that was mentioned, we have to restrict it to Muslims only. Unless someone has some evidences to say specifically that if you visit a non-Muslim, that you get the same reward. Someone would have to bring a specific text. And we know that the Prophet Sunnah was not to visit the non-Muslim when he was sick to make dua for him to get well. We do not find this in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. But what we do find is in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah is him making, is him giving da'wah to the individual who is sick, not asking Allah to heal them, but asking them to accept Islam, as in the case of the Jewish boy who he visited, who used to serve the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then when he came to him, his father was at his bed, and the young boy was invited to Islam by the Prophet, and the father told the boy, "A'ti Abu al-Qasim, obey Abu al-Qasim." And the boy took shahada and he died, and the hadith ended by saying that the Prophet said, "Alhamdulillahi alladhi anqadhahu biya min an-nar." Praise be to Allah who saved this boy because of me from the hellfire. This hadith is in the Musnad Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. It's in Abu Dawood and it's also in Muslim.
This is the same case for the woman who used to throw trash on
him. If the hadith is authentic. Same case for the woman who used to throw trash on him every day. Yes. If the hadith is authentic. Yes. You can help her by inviting her to Islam. And washing the dishes for her, taking out the garbage and things like that. Cleaning up the house for her. And the question was, the question from the young brother was, for those who can hear, if his grandmother gets sick, can he help her? Of course you can help her. But the most important thing is to invite her to Islam. Also, there's other examples of angels making salah for us, but we don't have a lot of time. We want to hurry up and try to finish as much as we can, and inshallah, go straight to the jinn and the shaitan. The angels also make dua when the Muslim says Ameen in the Salah. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forgives the Muslims of their sins. And this, even though I'm saying we should stick to the subject, but I want to take this time to just remind the Muslims that we are blowing I'll use a very light word, we're blowing two things. By not saying Ameen when the Imam says Ameen in the Salah. Some of us, I think I would be an understatement to say, the vast majority of the Muslims say Ameen not in consonant with the Imam. And there are two things that we're blowing by doing this. Number one, the Messenger of Allah has ordered us to say Ameen when the Imam says Ameen. And most of the Muslims in the Muslim world don't do this. Most of us don't do this. When the Imam says, "Wa al-Dhaleen," we say Ameen before the Imam. The first thing that we're blowing is that we're disobeying Allah and His Messenger, which is a sin. And the second, which is connected to what we're saying, is that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever says this, Allah forgives them if their Ameen agrees, because the angels, whoever says it, and they will be saying it in consonant with the angels, and Allah forgive them of their sins. So that means we're also blowing the reward of getting our sins forgiven. So we should just be mindful of that, inshallah. And we don't want to make this a fifth class, but...
Isn't it a hadith where if you do anything before the leading Imam, that you put your head in the hands of Satan?
I don't know about that.
If you come up before the...
No, there's a hadith that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, what is wrong with the person who makes these movements in the salah before the Imam, that would he want that Allah يُحَوِّلُ رَأْسَهُ رَأْسَ الْحِمَارِ, he changed his head into the head of a donkey. Okay. Inshallah, we want to end it here. There's a lot that could be said about the relationship of the angels with the believers. And there's also, we didn't even get a chance to talk about the relationship of the angels with the kuffar. But inshallah, maybe we can, somebody can come back and clean up or finish up what I left off. Inshallah, we're going to end it here and just have a few questions and answers, and then we're going to go straight to the subject on the jinn and shayateen, inshallah. If there are no questions, inshallah, we can begin. Yes. Maybe you can get one of the young brothers, Tariq, inshallah. If there are any sisters who have any questions, can you possibly, you can, have you reached puberty yet? Or you stay here, inshallah. We'll get another brother, inshallah, to go back there and get some questions from the sisters.